I didn't talk Uganda. Josephine Karunji.
Are you recording?
Yeah, it's rolling.
Okay. Welcome to Climate Talk Uganda. My name is Josephine Karunji, and I'm here with William Sitiranda, who is the videographer on the podcast, and he does a lot of our field recording. Hi, William.
Hi, JK.
Are you enjoying these constant times that I bring you in to say something?
Yeah, I do enjoy a lot.
Great, so I'll keep bringing you in. One of the funny things about making a podcast is as soon as you finish one episode, you move on to the next one, and you don't usually have a lot of time to reflect on what you've learned. So this week, we're going to take a breath to do that. We'll hear from a few listeners, but before we listen to other people, let's start with William, who is constantly with me in the studio, who's been out in the field with me. And William, I just want to understand what it's been like for you from, you know, when we started the episodes, the first episode, up to where we are now. Has anything changed for you with the subject of climate change?
Yeah, there are a lot that has changed in my life. Things, some that I knew and some that I don't actually, that have never come even in my mind. For example, the episode of Marabistok, someone talks about Marabistok in one of the episodes.
That's a favorite episode.
Yeah, I literally caught my mind because I didn't know that they are really useful to our earth being and in our community. They pick up, rotten stuff, eat bones, and, you know, for us to stay well. And he talked about the Indian kista that was done in India, and, when they killed all of them, people started dying. So literally right now, I treasure them so much.
You're not getting stones and throwing them away because they are a nuisance. Yeah, so what you're referring to is the BBC article that was
done? Yeah, the BBC article.
Okay. And where they found out that, without the Marabustok, this is what was happening there.
Yes.
Well, it's good to know that this is resonating with you, William. And it's resonating with me, too. So let's hear from other listeners. When you're broadcasting, sometimes it can feel like the flow of information is just going in one direction. But one of the best things about a podcast is that it's very easy to hear back from listeners. And earlier this week, I spoke to Teddy Aine, who's a student based in Kampala, Joel Cherop, who is a farmer and entrepreneur from the Sebei Ranges of Mount Elgon, and first, Taban Malis George, who has been listening in from South Sudan. His background is in aviation management. He's also a student at Victoria University in the Faculty of Business Management, studying procurement and logistics.
When we talk about climate change, climate talk, we're talking about our country. We're talking about the only prize that was handed over to us by our grandparents. They might have not given us wealth. They might have not left with us houses. But they left with us a country, a place that we can call home, that they protected. Now, I find it strange if we cannot protect it the same way they did it, to be able to hand over to the next generation. We have to remember that it is the only Mother Earth that we have that we are going to hand over to generations to come. But if we destroy it today, so what are we going to hand over? What explanation do we owe the people that comes after us? And I think that is where my interest is. What can we do differently that can preserve, can keep our environment in a form that can be handed over for generations to come? I also wanted to acknowledge the contribution of journalists in this field. I realize that more often we restrict or we limit the activity of journalism to coverage of riots, politicians, and those other things that people are probably not interested in. But Josephine, this podcast you have started producing and the few that I have followed have given me the impression that there is a lot more that you people are doing in journalism that is being less appreciated. And I wanted to say that this is a lot of work that people do and shouldn't go unnoticed.
Thank you, Taban. Thank you for that. That's very insightful, especially when you speak about what we've been handed and how we've treated it, but also when you speak about the role of journalists. And I remember one of the episodes we had a journalist from called Gerald Tenure, who spoke to some of the things that he's been doing around climate. So I'm very happy to hear that you're able to acknowledge the work that goes into journalism and how it then influences things that are happening around us. Have you gained any new insights, Taban, that have changed your practice or that have gotten you to think very, very deeply from listening to the podcast?
Yes, definitely, Josephine. And I think that going forward, especially in the last few days, I've started to look at things differently. When there is a government project, for example, a new road, much as people are looking at the new road and its benefit, I start to look at how many trees are going to be removed. What about the soil? What about the owners of this habitat? Where are they going to go? Recently, they removed some trees within Kampala City Square to create some area for traffic lights. That was the explanation from KTDA. But we had bats that were living. This was their home. So what happens after? We destroy this habitat. And that has really made me now start to look at everything differently. I start to think more environmentalist than the logistician that I tend to be. I am not planning to be an environmental activist, but I think that I am sliding slowly into one. And I think that this is an interesting subject for me, that moving forward, I would personally take it as a responsibility to start it at the family level.
Teddy Aine is a student at Cavendish University, pursuing a bachelor's degree in public administration and management. She says she's becoming an environment activist.
Through the podcast, I've learned a lot, and I've turned away from people in Kampala who say government mtuyambe. I think I'm no longer part of those people who say government mtuyambe, because literally you see everyone is crying out for the government mtuyambe, but I think it starts with you and I. It really breaks my heart when I'm probably seated in the car and traveling somewhere and I see a car ahead of me, someone pulling out garbage and then dropping it out confidently. And the person even seated next to that person never says any word. And 2 weeks back, I happened to be walking, and this was traffic jam, and someone just pulled out a Carvera with whatever they'd eaten and some bit of Rock Boom bottles and threw it out. I confidently walked, threw it back into the car. And all these people shouted at me, the conductor shouted at me. I just told them, you're the people that are going to say government mtuyambe. After these roads, the drainage being blocked, they still threw it out. I threw it in again. Like, how are we disposing our garbage? Right now at my home, I've started something new. Like, you know, if I'm putting my trash out, I have the rotten things go in a different bag, and those things that plastics I bought, the plastics, are put in a different garbage. So I called out my landlord, I told him, and he's a mchiga. He's like, ah, wow, you're brilliant. So he has told all people in the apartment to do that. Because I feel like it will start with me. And since I'm a woman, I'm a mother, and I feel like the world rotates around us mothers. If I start it, that means when I become a mother, it will be easy for me to train up my child with this. But right now, the children are looking out to their mothers on what they do every day. And what are these mothers doing? They just dispose whatever they find. I find it very weird finding dumped Pampers, diapers everywhere. I'm like, okay, even if you didn't go to school, but at least ask the Banyankore, say, kwa grandma just tokopa. Like, those are small things.
Just to translate for whoever is listening, you've said if you don't have some bit of intelligence, at least you can't copy from somebody else.
Those are simple things that I feel like I, as a mother, with climate change, it will start with me. Because the moment these challenges that we are facing in climate change hit back, it's basically the woman that sits back, and then you're like, oh, my children, oh, my family, what are my children going to eat? Let's look at currently in Uganda, we've seen floods hit in Bududa. I've not seen so many men cry on TV. It is usually the mothers crying out, because probably floods have hit and they've taken their children, they've taken away their crops, their animals are dead. But these mothers are crying, what am I going to feed my children?
First, let me introduce myself. My name is Joel Chiro. Zach.
Joel is a seasoned farmer, social entrepreneur, and youth mentor.
From the Sebei Ranges of Mount Elgon. Just for better understanding, Elgon straddles between regions of Sebei. Sebei has Kapchorwa, Kwen, and Bukwa. Then we have Bulambuli, Sironko, and Mbale district. Those are the areas that stride along that path of Mount Elgon, a region I have a lot of passion about. And by the way, just let listeners know better about that Elgon zone. Most of the waters that originate from Mount Elgon somehow end up in the Kyoga Basin and eventually into the River Nile and serving the great nation of Egypt.
You said you're a farmer. What kind of farming do you do?
My farming is, I could talk about several things, but my specialty, what made me a brand name in this country and probably Africa, was horticulture.
Joe, what got you listening to this podcast? Where did you find it?
What touched me was when I saw the word climate change. It directly affects me as a farmer and lots of young people out there.
You've listened to some of the episodes. Actually, our last episode was about irrigation.
Yes.
Which of the episodes that you've listened to, and I don't know how many of the ones we've done you've managed to listen to, which one struck you the most? Which one have you resonated with the most?
The one that struck me the most was the first episode. That episode where they're translating for a lady in Arua. It touched me because she spoke about things that are real. On the ground, especially to do with us, the farmers.
Ozata anguvila wadere, ozata anguvilere, esa wadere, amano vuzudi alenya dere, ozata euni yozazuri, euni yozandro korea, eu vunenra deneko, andra amadredo.
In very few words, Mama has said that the impact of climate change is grave. Right now she's talking about the season of rain. It is overraining so much so that there are issues of weeds. Weeds are overpowering what you're planting. But also there are issues around the fact that that soil is a bit heavy and it preserves a lot of moisture, which is too much. After you harvest your things, because of the cold, things get spoiled. I think where she plants, it's sort of a hill, so there is erosion, and even sometimes she buys a sacket of seed at 30,000. Sometimes she can buy 10 sackets, and the rain carries all the seeds down the hill, and she doesn't get much from it. So basically, the impact is great. Sometimes it gets too cold, and then those days they used to go and get firewood. They knew the times, so they would go. They would know that this is dry season. I'm going to collect firewood, and I'll come back. But now, when you, first of all, firewood is not near, it's far. And when you attempt to go, you're washed by rain. And you don't know when it will rain and when it will not rain. So you're washed by rain in the morning. When you attempt to go in the evening, you're washed by rain. So firewood is a challenge. Everything is a challenge. And in fact, if it wasn't for the fact that she believes in God, right now she'd be having a problem with God.
In
I think that the podcast you had from West Nile, and the one with Yaro Handa, the message and the content were very complete. And I think that having the local people speak on the issues that they're facing helps to amplify the message that we are not only relying on you, who is the translator, but we can hear from the horse's mouth. Now, when we talk about climate talk and environmental climate response, I think that the protection of our wetlands is an issue that needs to be discussed, and I think that having a podcast on this particular item would be of interest, because we are losing wetlands in the country. Unfortunately, the people that are supposed to regulate and not issue building permits on wetlands are the ones who are doing it. Double standards from government. I don't know how this can be rectified. I also saw today one senior citizen complained about a wetland that is being encroached on. I will not mention his name for the purpose of this discussion. But there is a growing concern of Kampala losing her wetlands, and this is expanding to outside Kampala and most parts of the country. Now, we need to take a deliberate action. Government needs to deliberately see that something is done very much. The discussion you had with Yaro Hanga also made me understand that the soil that I got from the wetlands, what he referred to as the peat, helps a lot to absorb CO2 gases. But you can see that the more we lose these wetlands, we are losing the opportunity to control the increase in our CO2 emissions. But I also think that government need to stop keeping this discussion at a policy level. They have to do something to implement these nice policies that have been written. Today, most of us will do our part, but if we don't get the compliment from government side to reinforce our efforts, it's going to go to waste, because these big companies, these powerful individuals who have money and can do anything, will continue to destroy our wetlands, will continue to buy our forests, we'll continue to open sugarcane plantations into our forests, cut down trees, because they have the powers to do it. And eventually, this is going to be an issue that will affect every one of us, sadly, if we don't do something about it today.
On the other hand, Joel brings unique perspectives from his lived engagement with the youth who are facing human-wildlife conflict as a result of the effects of climate change.
You know, the real issue now is the nexus between climate change, youth livelihood, and then the ecological systems which are endangered by climate change. I will cite an example, Josephine. I'm currently operating in two distinct areas, in the highland of Kapyoro and then in the lowland of Kwen District, which all happen to be in the Sebei region. Now, when I speak about the lowlands of Sebei, for example, those straddle the plains, and our neighbors are Karamoja, then Western Pokot, Amudat District. Now, this area is also very unique in that we share a boundary with Pian Upegem Reserve. Now, Pian Upegem Reserve is in Karamoja, is in Amudat, and is in Kwen. Now, because of this climate change issue, it's quite a very interesting nexus that I'm going to speak about. Now, we have human-wildlife conflicts. Now, wildlife from the game park, especially buffaloes, because of drought, they lack grass in the game park, they lack water. So they find themselves coming to the land where we are tilling in search of pasture and in search of water. Now, the other element that I would like to speak about is the youth having inserted themselves into agriculture And because of drought, they've lost their whole crop. Now, these young people have destroyed all the trees, burned charcoal, you know, as a form of livelihood, because crop farming is no longer viable in those lowlands. Now, after they finished all the trees, they have now descended onto the game park, I mean game reserve, to poach, which activity is illegal. But because of climate change, the animals are coming out, destroy our crop. Mm-hmm. The young people are also entering the game park to kill the animals for meat. So, yeah, that's the connection I was trying to make, Josephine.
We circle back to Teddy, who is a storyteller. Understanding the importance of fruit trees has got her planning for her children's future.
Right now, we are looking at planting trees, and I being a woman, and since I talked about having my children, training them, telling them that, you know what, on every birthday of yours that you will be celebrating, the only gift I'll give you is a tree.
A seedling?
Yes, a seedling. And how much is a seedling? Just 3,000. I was recently around Northern Bypass and trying to find out the prices, because I thought these trees are very expensive. 3,000. 3,000, 1,500, so I said, okay, for my child, this is what I'm going to do. Every birthday, if they are not yet at an age of them understanding, I will do it for them. So by the time they get to maybe 7, and then they at least know that, mommy, every birthday, my gift is a seedling of a tree. I'll give them different trees. By the time my son is to make 18, at least I know an avocado tree. We'll have grown, and then, you know, we have fruit there, we have shed there, and
this is going to be planted on your land as the woman.
Yes, on me and my husband's land. That is why I'm saying we need to change the perspective of saying land is basically for man. No, with this era, we can't keep moving like that.
For me, Teddy, Joel, and Taban's reflections and William's reflection at the beginning of the episode make it clear the importance of continuing to build awareness around climate change. That when people know about, you know, what's working in agriculture or habitat preservation, they make better decisions, especially when they know about the implications of their own actions on their own well-being. We're going to continue having listener-centered episodes from time to time on Climate Talk Uganda, partly just to hear feedback on what we're talking about, and also because we like hearing your suggestions about aspects of climate change you think we should be covering. Are you seeing it happening where you live? How is it affecting your day-to-day life, if at all? Please feel free to drop us a line at climatetalkpod@gmail.com and share your own experiences of the reality of climate change in Uganda or wherever you are from your perspective. You can even send us a short audio clip or video clip that we might feature in one of our episodes. Remember to keep it related to climate change, how it's affecting you in your community, and how you're responding to it. That address again is climatetalkpod@gmail.com. I am Josephine Karunji. This is Climate Talk Uganda. See you next time.